Chapter 4. This universe. It appears to his home and his homely feeling in other ways. For at certain times he carries there his wife and daughter, or his sister, or, possibly, some bright-eyed acquaintance of a more tender description. Judging from what I see before me, I think it is very likely. I am sure I would if I could. He takes her there to enjoy a pleasant evening, to be gay and happy. Sometimes it may possibly happen that he dates his tenderness from the Athenaeum. I think that is a very excellent thing too, and not the least among the advantages of the institution. In any case, I am sure the number of bright eyes and beaming faces which grace this meeting tonight by their presence will never be among the least of its excellences in my recollection. Ladies and gentlemen, I shall not easily forget this scene, the pleasing task your favor has devolved upon me, or the strong and inspiring confirmation I have tonight of all the hopes and reliances I have ever placed upon institutions of this nature. In the latter point of view, in their bearing upon this latter point, I regard them as of great importance, deeming that the more intelligent and reflective society in the mass becomes, and the more readers there are, the more distinctly writers of all kinds will be able to throw themselves upon the truthful feeling of the people, and the more honored and the more useful literature must be. At the same time, I must confess that, if there had been an Athenaeum, and if the people had been readers, years ago, some leaves of dedication in your library, of praise of patrons which was very cheaply bought, very dearly sold, and very marketably haggled for by the groat, would be blank leaves, and posterity might probably have lacked the information that certain monsters of virtue ever had existence. But it is upon a much better and wider scale. Let me say it once again, it is in the effect of such institutions upon the great social system, and the peace and happiness of mankind, that I delight to contemplate them. And, in my heart, I am quite certain that long after your institution, and others of the same nature, have crumbled into dust, the noble harvest of the seed sown in them will shine out brightly in the wisdom, the mercy, and the forbearance of another race. Speech. Liverpool, February 26, 1844. The following address was delivered at a soiree of the Liverpool Mechanics Institution, at which Mr. Dickens presided. Ladies and gentlemen, it was rather hard of you to take away my breath before I spoke a word, but I would not thank you, even if I could, for the favor which has set me in this place, or for the generous kindness which has greeted me so warmly, because my first strong impulse still would be, although I had that power, to lose sight of all personal considerations in the high intent and meaning of this numerous assemblage, in the contemplation of the noble objects to which this building is devoted, of its brilliant and inspiring history, of that rough, upward track, so bravely trodden, which it leaves behind, and that bright path of steadily increasing usefulness which lies stretched out before it. My first strong impulse still would be to exchange congratulations with you, as the members of one united family, on the thriving vigor of this strongest child of a strong race. My first strong impulse still would be, though everybody here had twice as many hundreds of hands as there are hundreds of persons present, to shake them in the spirit, everyone, always, allow me to say, excepting those hands, and there are a few such here, which, with the constitutional infirmity of human nature, I would rather salute in some more tender fashion. When I first had the honor of communicating with your committee with reference to this celebration, I had some selfish hopes that the visit proposed to me might turn out to be one of congratulation, or, at least, of solicitous inquiry. For they who receive a visitor in any season of distress are easily touched and moved by what he says, and I entertained some confident expectation of making a mighty strong impression on you. But, when I came to look over the printed documents which were forwarded to me at the same time, and with which you are all tolerably familiar, these anticipations very speedily vanished, and left me bereft of all consolation, but the triumphant feeling to which I have referred. for what do I find, on looking over those brief chronicles of this swift conquest over ignorance and prejudice, in which no blood has been poured out, and no treaty signed, but that one sacred compact which recognizes the just right of every man, whatever his belief, or however humble his degree, to aspire, and to have some means of aspiring, to be a better and a wiser man. I find that, in 1825, certain misguided and turbulent persons proposed to erect in Liverpool an unpopular, dangerous, irreligious, and revolutionary establishment, called a Mechanics Institution, that, in 1835, Liverpool having, somehow or other, got on pretty comfortably in the meantime, in spite of it, the first stone of a new and spacious edifice was laid, that, in 1837 it was opened, that, it was afterwards, at different periods, considerably enlarged, that, in 1844 conspicuous amongst the public beauties of a beautiful town, here it stands triumphant, its enemies lived down, its former students attesting, in their various useful callings and pursuits, the sound, practical information it afforded them, its members numbering considerably more than 3,000 and setting in rapidly for 6,000 at least, its library comprehending 11,000 volumes, and daily sending forth its hundreds of books in two private homes, its staff of masters and officers, amounting to half a hundred in themselves, its schools, conveying every sort of instruction, high and low, adapted to the labor, means, exigencies, and convenience of nearly every class and grade of persons. I was here this morning, and in its spacious halls I found stores of the wonders worked by nature in the air, in the forest, in the cavern, and in the sea, stores of the surpassing engines devised by science for the better knowledge of other worlds, and the greater happiness of the stores of those gentler works of art, which, though achieved in perishable stone, by yet more perishable hands of dust, are in their influence immortal. With such means at their command, so well directed, so cheaply shared, and so extensively diffused, well may your committee say, as they have done in one of their reports, that the success of this establishment has far exceeded their most sanguine expectations. But, ladies and gentlemen, as that same philosopher whose words they quote, as Bacon tells us, instancing the wonderful effects of little things and small beginnings, that the influence of the lodestone was first discovered in particles of iron, and not in iron bars, so they may lay it to their hearts, that when they combine together, to form the institution which has risen to this majestic height, they issued on a field of enterprise, the glorious end of which they cannot even now discern. Every man who has felt the advantages of, or has received improvement in this place, carries its benefits into the society in which he moves, and puts them out at compound interest. And what the blessed sum may be at last, no man can tell. Ladies and gentlemen, with that Christian prelate whose name appears on your list of honorary members, that good and liberal man who once addressed you within these walls, in a spirit worthy of his calling, and of his high master, I look forward from this place, as from a tower, to the time when high and low, and rich and poor, shall mutually assist, improve, and educate each other. I feel, ladies and gentlemen, that this is not a place, with its 3,200 members, and at least 3,200 arguments in every one, to enter on any advocacy of the principle of mechanics institutions, or to discuss the subject with those who do, or ever did object to them. I should as soon think of arguing the point with those untutored savages whose mode of life you last year had the opportunity of witnessing. Indeed, I am strongly inclined to believe them by far the more rational class of the two. Moreover, if the institution itself be not a sufficient answer to all such objections, then there is no such thing in fact or reason, human or divine. Neither will I venture to enter into those details of the management of this place which struck me most on the perusal of its papers. But I cannot help saying how much impressed and gratified I was, as everybody must be who comes to their perusal for the first time, by the extraordinary munificence with which this institution has been endowed by certain gentlemen. Amongst the peculiar features of management which made the greatest impression on me, I may observe that that regulation which empowers fathers, being annual subscribers of 1 guinea, to introduce their sons who are minors, and masters, on payment of the astoundingly small sum of 5 shillings annually, in like manner their apprentices, is not the least valuable of its privileges, and certainly not the one least valuable to society. And, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot say to you what pleasure I derived from the perusal of an apparently excellent report in your local papers of a meeting held here some short time since, in aid of the formation of a girls' school in connection with this institution. This is a new and striking chapter in the history of these institutions. It does equal credit to the gallantry and policy of this, and disposes one to say of it with a slight parody on the words of Burns, that its prentice had it tried on man, and then it taught the lasses, oh, that those who are our best teachers, and whose lessons are oftenest heeded in after life, should be well taught themselves, is a proposition few reasonable men will gainsay, and, certainly, to breed up good husbands on the one hand, and good wives on the other, those appear as reasonable and straightforward a plan as could well be devised for the improvement of the next generation. This, and what I see before me, naturally brings me to our fairer members, in respect of whom I have no doubt you will agree with me, that they ought to be admitted to the widest possible extent, and on the lowest possible terms. And, ladies, let me venture to say to you, that you never did a wiser thing in all your lives, than when you turned your favorable regard on such an establishment as this for, wherever the light of knowledge is diffused, wherever the humanizing influence of the arts and sciences extends itself, wherever there is the clearest perception of what is beautiful, and good, and most redeeming, amid all the faults and vices of mankind. There your character, your virtues, your graces, your better nature, will be the best appreciated, and there the truest homage will be proudly paid to you. You show best, trust me, in the clearest light, and every ray that falls upon you at your own firesides, from any book or thought communicated within these walls, will raise you nearer to the angels, in the eyes you care for most. I will not longer interpose myself, ladies and gentlemen, between you and the pleasure we all anticipate in hearing other gentlemen, and in enjoying those social pleasures with which it is a main part of the wisdom of this society to adorn, and relieve its graver pursuits. We all feel, I am sure, being here, that we are truly interested in the cause of human improvement and rational education, and that we pledge ourselves, everyone as far as in him lies, to extend the knowledge of the benefits afforded in this place, and to bear honest witness in its favor. To those who yet remain without its walls, but have the means of purchasing its advantages, we make appeal, and in a friendly and forbearing spirit say, come in, and be convinced, who enters here, leaves doubt behind. If you, happily, have been well taught yourself, and are superior to its advantages, so much the more should you make one in sympathy with those who are below you. Beneath this roof we breed the men who, in the time to come, must be found working for good or evil, in every quarter of society. If mutual respect and forbearance among various classes be not found here, where so many men are trained up in so many grades, to enter on so many roads of life, dating their entry from one common starting point, as they are all approaching, by various paths, one common end, where else can that great lesson be imbibed? Differences of wealth, of rank, of intellect, we know there must be, and we respect them, but we would give to all the means of taking out one patent of nobility, and we define it, in the words of a great living poet, who is one of us, and who uses his great gifts, as he holds them in trust, for the general welfare, however it be, it seems to me, 'tis only noble to be good. True hearts are more than coronets, and simple faith than Norman blood. 6. Speech. Birmingham, February 28, 1844.
The following speech was delivered at a conversation in aid of the funds of the Birmingham Polytechnic Institution, at which Mr. Dickens presided.
You will think it very unwise, or very self-denying in me, in such an assembly, in such a splendid scene, and after such a welcome, to congratulate myself on having nothing new to say to you. But I do so, notwithstanding. To say nothing of places near home, I had the honor of attending at Manchester, shortly before Christmas, and at Liverpool, only the night before last, for a purpose similar to that which brings you together this evening, and looking down a short perspective of similar engagements, I feel gratification at the thought that I shall very soon have nothing at all to say, in which case, I shall be content to stake my reputation, like the Spectator of Addison, and that other great periodical speaker, the Speaker of the House of Commons, on my powers of listening. This feeling, and the earnest reception I have met with, are not the only reasons why I feel a genuine, cordial, and peculiar interest in this night's proceedings. The Polytechnic Institution of Birmingham is in its infancy struggling into life under all those adverse and disadvantageous circumstances which, to a greater or less extent, naturally beset all infancy, but I would much rather connect myself with it now, however humble, in its days of difficulty and of danger, than look back on its origin, when it may have become strong, and rich, and powerful. I should prefer an intimate association with it now, in its early days and apparent struggles, to becoming its advocate and acquaintance, its fair-weather friend, in its high and palmy days. I would rather be able to say I knew it in its swaddling clothes, than in mature age. Its two elder brothers have grown old and died. Their chests were weak about their cradles, nurses shook their heads, and gossips groaned. But the present institution shot up, amidst the ruin of those which have fallen, with an indomitable constitution, with vigorous and with steady pulse, temperate, wise, and of good repute, and by perseverance it has become a very giant. Birmingham is, in my mind and in the minds of most men, associated with many giants, and I no more believe that this young institution will turn out sickly, dwarfish, or of stunted growth, than I do that, when the glass slipper of my chairmanship shall fall off, and the clock strike 12 tonight, this hall will be turned into a pumpkin. I found that strong belief upon the splendid array of grace and beauty by which I am surrounded, and which, if it only had 100th part of the effect upon others it has upon me, could do anything it pleased with anything and anybody. I found my strong conviction, in the second place, upon the public spirit of the town of Birmingham, upon the name and fame of its capitalists and working men, upon the greatness and importance of its merchants and manufacturers, upon its inventions, which are constantly in progress, upon the skill and intelligence of its artisans, which are daily developed, and the increasing knowledge of all portions of the community. All these reasons lead me to the conclusion that your institution will advance, that it will and must progress, and that you will not be content with lingering leagues behind. I have another peculiar ground of satisfaction in connection with the object of this assembly, and it is that the resolutions about to be proposed do not contain in themselves anything of a sectarian or class nature, that they do not confine themselves to anyone. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.